Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud podcast. Instructional coaches and leaders create the environment that supports teachers to continually imagine, grow, and achieve. They model an excitement for learning that teachers in turn model for students. This podcast is dedicated to promoting the important aspects of instructional leadership. Thanks for listening. I'm thrilled you're here. Experiences precede buy-in. I was recently participating in an instructional coaches conference where a presenter asked the participants to place these changes in the order that they are likely to occur. The list read, change in student outcomes, change in teacher attitude and beliefs, change in teacher practice. We were working in pairs, and my partner shared her thinking that changes in teacher attitude led to changes in teacher practice and thus caused increased student learning. She was intrigued when I suggested that I thought teacher changes in practice and increased student success are what lead to changes in teachers' attitude and beliefs. When the speaker pulled the audience back together, she asked for raised hands to indicate people's thinking about what step was first. A substantial number of participants shared their initial thinking that teacher beliefs and attitudes changed first. There was a sense that we needed to get buy-in in order to implement. In an article in Middle School Matters titled, Understanding the Importance of Teacher Buy-in for School Improvement, the authors state, quote, schools are often anxious to reap the benefits of participation in a new program and begin without proper training or consideration of their ability to implement the program in a meaningful way. Schools may introduce a new program with a staff development day or a kickoff celebration, achieving immediate short-term buy-in. However, sustainable long-term buy-in is not achieved in one day, one week, or even one month or year. It's an ongoing process achieved over time, end quote. The presenter in the instructional coaching session pointed to an article by Tom Guskey titled Flip the Script on Change. Guskey writes, quote, experience shapes teachers' attitudes and beliefs, not the other way around, end quote. He describes that many professional learning efforts are based on the assumption that change in teachers' attitudes and beliefs will lead to changes in their classroom practice, which in turn will result in improved student learning. However, investigations of teacher change show that this assumption is generally inaccurate, especially for experienced educators. Instead, significant changes in teachers' attitudes and beliefs take place only after positive change in student learning is evident. These improvements in student learning result from specific changes that teachers make in their classroom practices, such as new materials or curriculum, new classroom policies or practices. As I look at coaching for change, I see my coaching role as encouraging and supporting experimentation. Experimentation with a different instructional strategy, program, or approach, rather than a focus on seeking teacher buy-in. I suggest to administrators that in the early stages of implementation of a new curriculum, positive feedback for experimentation should be provided prior to the practice being effective. Communicating empathy and understanding during the early stages is a key to leadership action. Guskey shares four implications for designing and leading professional learning. These are important considerations for instructional coaches teacher leaders, principals, and curriculum supervisors. I'll share my thoughts around each of Guskey's implications, and I'll also connect with a business article titled How Beliefs Affect Mindsets by Linda Henman. The links to these articles, as well as the Middle School Matters article, are in the lead-in to this podcast. Guskey's first implication suggests efforts to change attitudes and beliefs directly rarely succeed. Writing to business leaders, Linda Henman states that both intellectual and emotional beliefs influence our behaviors when facts and reason alone don't. How do we develop our beliefs? Our early relationships, experiences, events, and situations create and influence our belief system. However, when we fail to examine our beliefs and bring them to the conscious level, we run the risk that we will continue to base decisions on false or inaccurate inputs. So I see the key as encouraging new experiences. It's those experiences that have the capability of impacting our beliefs. Sometimes this can be approached with a professional learning activity where the teachers engage in the new strategy as a learner and experience that impact firsthand. Observing a model with students in another teacher's classroom can be helpful in motivating experimentation, not buy-in. The goal is to promote experimentation. When encouraging experimentation, I like to use the phrase, "What's the worst case scenario if what you try doesn't work?" Usually the risk is rather low, and getting the teacher to identify the experimentation with the strategy to be safe, we can reach a point where the teacher says, "I think I'll give it a try." Guskey's second element: change is a gradual and difficult process, especially for teachers. Change in practice requires conscious practice with a new move, and that is a source of discomfort. Often the new strategy is initially less effective than past practice, and this leads us to return to the previous practice as it was more effective. Coaching at this time can be a form of cheerleading, encouraging investment in an effort that is not immediately producing a payoff in improved student learning. The cheerleading encourages continued practice with the new strategy, even though the initial results don't seem to be worth the effort. At this point, my previous strategy was likely more effective. Staying with the strategy a while longer is often key. Some instructional changes require time for students to adjust to the change as well as the teacher. Guskey's next implication states feedback on results is essential. In Henman's business writing, she points out that when people wrongly believe that nothing is improving, they conclude that nothing they have tried so far works, and they lose confidence in things that actually do work. Too often, clients want to tell her everything they have done that didn't work, and they fail to mention all the efforts that moved the needle, even just a little. I see the need for feedback to generate encouragement for continued effort. The feedback can focus on the change order. Initially, the feedback is on teacher behavior, the change in teacher practice. Then the feedback can focus on how the change in teacher actions is producing a change in student learning production behaviors, such as increased engagement, student perseverance, student questioning. Lastly, celebrating with the teacher as indicators of increased student learning success emerge. Guskey's last element: change requires continued follow-up, support, and pressure. He suggests that support should be coupled with pressure. Quote, support allows those engaged in difficult processes of implementation to tolerate the anxiety of occasional setback. Pressure is often necessary to initiate change among those whose self-impetus for change is not great, and thus ensure persistence in the challenging task that's intrinsic to all improvement efforts. End quote. My phrase for pressure is expectation. I often suggest that when school-wide professional learning is provided for a building or a system change, that teachers should be asked that within 4 weeks, they invite the principal to observe early implementation. It's important to communicate that that observation is certainly non-evaluative, and that it's necessary for the administration to assess what additional support might be needed. The expectation is that the change will be implemented. Whatever support and time are needed will be provided. Consider this quote from Harvard Business Review. A big part of a coach's job is to keep people progressing in the right direction. Experimenting with new behaviors, testing different tactics, and then practicing and perfecting those that prove most effective. End quote. As teachers experience students gaining success because of changes that the teacher has implemented, buy-in occurs. As individual teachers buy in, they add to the team supporting and encouraging others in the implementation. Good luck with any of your school's new initiatives. I'd love to hear what you're finding as your plan progresses and be happy to discuss your coaching options. Reach me at barclaypd.com and I'll connect. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barclay, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barclaypd.com.